a whole lot more coming your way. Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Welcome aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on this Wednesday. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Buttons, our producer, on the other side of the glass here today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Your local programming block getting underway here on KGYM will be followed from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock tonight by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And then at 6:45 tonight, it'll be girls tournament basketball as it'll be Kennedy taking on newly top 15 rated Iowa City West as the final rankings for 4A and 5A girls basketball just released a little bit ago. And if you want to check those out, go to the website IGHSAU.org. More tournament basketball coming up tonight, as it will be, as we mentioned, Class 5A, 8 regional quarterfinals around the state. Class 4A with their first round coming up tonight, and Class 3A with their semifinal round. They will set their regional finals up for Saturday night. It's not like it used to be, is it, Mark, when six-player basketball, when you had to win like, seemed like 12 games to get to the state tournament back in the day. I hate to start things off with back in the day.
No, that's very true, and it's a little different now, like a five seed. Goes right to the semifinals against the number one seed, but
right,
you know, that five seed didn't even have to play that first round, but it's a little different, but all in the interest of getting it right, correct?
Yes. Yes. The eight seeds, the top eight teams in the rankings are the top seeded teams. So the Girls High School Athletic Union, that's the way they deem it, and that's the way they've done it for the last handful of years. And usually they get the best teams down to the state tournament in Des Moines, which is not too far away, a week from Monday. Mm. Let that sink in a little bit. 319-366-1600. That is the First Federal Credit Union text line if you would like to weigh in. FirstFedCU.com is their website. Find out more at KGYMRadio.com. We got state dual wrestling going on at the Wells Fargo Arena in downtown Des Moines. Might as well get everybody up to date.
Let's do it.
Class 3A. It will be Southeast Polk wrestling Waverly Shell Rock for the championship. That is number one versus number two. Southeast Polk beating West Des Moines Valley and beating North Scott. North Scott will be wrestling for third place against Fort Dodge. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. Class 2A, the championship bout will be West Delaware and Williamsburg, an all-WOMAC affair for the state championship. That will be coming up later on tonight down in Des Moines. West Delaware beat Humboldt in the first round, 60-12, and then defeated Davenport Assumption, 54-18 in the semifinals. Independence beat Winterset in their first round, 45-24. Williamsburg got by Sergeant Bluff Luton, 39-27. And then Williamsburg beat Independence, 44-25. So it's number one versus number three. Three of the final four in the duels, much like Wyatt said yesterday when we talked with him, previewing the state meet, are from the WOMAC Conference. So that was very good to see. They are very, very stacked this year. And in Class 1A, the matchup everyone thought would happen is going to happen for the third time this year. It will be Don Bosco and Lisbon, number one versus number two, going at it. Bosco beat Woodbury Central and Logan Magnolia, 67-12 and 68-12. Lisbon beat Clarion Goldfield Dows, the Fighting Cowboys of Jeff Moss, 74-6. Then beat West Sioux 54-21. And Lisbon and Don Bosco are not going to rest anyone, folks. They are going to go at it tooth and nail tonight at 6:30.
They will indeed. They've split during the regular season. And Listen, we've beaten up the state duels in terms of the placement the day before the traditional state meet. I'm going to add the fact, why do they wrestle consolations?
Well, they will wrestle through eighth place.
When you have 3 days of the traditional state tournament ahead, and you're wrestling consolation matches?
A lot of those consolation matches, though, are not necessarily your varsity lineup, though.
So why?
Well, you got to get there and might as well wrestle, I guess, is the way they look at it.
You miss consolation games at the state tournament?
We have never done a third place game at the state tournament, Mark, for many, many reasons. Not to say they're not important, but Saturday morning at 9 o'clock is not an ideal time to get everybody up and put it on the radio. Mm-hmm. So one of the many reasons, as I mentioned, that we haven't done it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the duels after this season, because it's been rumored and talked about, and a lot of folks want to move it into January, mm-hmm. maybe right after the first of the year, getting rid of sectionals.
That sectional Saturday, I think, is where you're going to find it.
Yeah, it could be a week prior to districts in the big classes, so mm-hmm. we'll see.
The big news of the day nationally, you just heard at the top of the hour, Sports Center. Miraculously, Ryan Newman has been released, they said, from the hospital. I did hear that correctly, didn't I, Mark?
You did indeed. There's Roush Fenway Racing put out some pictures on Twitter and Facebook and showed Newman walking out of the hospital with his girls, one on each side, hand in hand. Really a touching picture, I thought. And I asked you before the show, I mean, seeing that picture made me wonder, you know, if I'm Ryan Newman, do I want to get back in a race car? And he will, because that's what they do.
Absolutely.
Not this weekend at Vegas. Ross Chastain is going to be in the six in place of Ryan Newman. But, man, you go through something like that, it's
It is scary, but it is the chosen profession for these guys and gals. And I have no doubt in my mind that there is a 90% chance that Ryan Newman will get back into a race car. Ryan Newman has had bad crashes before when he was in USAC sprints and midgets. And even in NASCAR, he's mm-hmm. had some tumbles at both Talladega and Daytona prior to this. That were very bad. Maybe not as bad as this one. Has flipped in a sprint car, flipped in a midget. But this was pretty scary. And to see him walk out of the hospital, 48 hours, not even 48 hours later, is pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable.
A little less than 3 days after
it was
the
Monday,
race.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Monday, yeah.
Oh, it is Wednesday,
it,
right?
It's Wednesday.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't a Sunday. They raced on Monday.
That's right.
Yeah. And whatever serious injuries there were, I got to think maybe concussion. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on it, but man alive, just that news made me very happy. Made me very happy.
Absolutely.
And that is terrific to see. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk some Iowa wrestling coming up here in just a little bit. Last night, the Big Ten never ceases to amaze, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. Who saw Illinois going into State College and bumping off Penn State last night the way Illinois had been playing as of late and the way Penn State had been playing as of late? But Illinois got a big boost last night with the return of DeSumo last night.
Very entertaining game. I watched it nearly from start to finish, and I liked a lot of aspects of it, the basketball itself. But also, this game was on FS1, and I know they've had similar types of coverage before, but they had each coach mic'd up, Brad Underwood and Pat Chambers, throughout the game. And they showed them on the right side of the screen on the sidelines, and then they went into each huddle during the timeout. I thought it was super insightful. I really liked that aspect of the coverage.
Yeah, I do too. And you got to have a coach, A, that's willing to do it. B, has a coach that you're not going to have to worry about beeping out and running the delay a little
bit. Part of it, too, yeah.
Sometimes coaches can get a little heated, if you will. You also have to have a coach that is somebody that is very good at communicating, mm-hmm. is not a screamer and a yeller. You got to have that every once in a while. I realize that. But it is a nice insight into the game. And I know it's at a different level, but I enjoy when we're courtside listening to Into the Huddle during a timeout, take the headset off and listen to exactly what the coach has to say for the high school games we did and have done and will do. It's fascinating. And talking with the coaches afterwards. Asking them, okay, what was this situation? What'd you do? Why'd you do that thing? And I think you get an insight in that as far as the college game is concerned when you're in the huddle like that. I think it's fantastic.
It took me somewhere where I hadn't been. And Chambers was different than Underwood. Chambers was probably the most vocal person in that huddle, whereas Underwood, he let his assistants talk quite a bit. And he would let his players talk quite a bit. Chambers was pretty straightforward as to what had just happened on the floor, why we can't allow this to happen again, and what we're going to face in the next couple minutes in terms of what he thought were the adjustments that Illinois would make. And again, I thought it was terrific.
You got to be one step, if not two steps ahead, of what the other coach is thinking about. Couple of comments.
Wouldn't you like to be in the huddle of Fran McCaffrey?
I've heard the huddle of Fran McCaffrey a few times. Yeah, it's not, you can not even have to strain at times to hear Fran, but like I said, that's Fran's style out there. Darren talking about NASCAR, saying, I got to think it's a testament to how well the cars are built. I would definitely agree with that. 6019, and I had it here. There it is. Mark, great call on mic'd up coaches. Made game intense. I agree. Let's see. Matt, it definitely gives the average fan an inside look at what goes on from a coach's perspective. Might be different in wrestling.
Yeah,
we'll
let's mic up Tom Brands and John Smith this weekend for all 10 bouts.
Now, John Smith, not so much.
Huh?
Maybe there's some other coaches out there.
Somebody's giving you a look.
Oh, Mark. Would John Smith be good to have mic'd up?
Yeah, it'd be great to have him mic'd up.
Would we have to worry if I was in the production truck?
Probably. I think that pretty much goes for any wrestling coach, to be honest with you.
Well, that's okay, though. That's okay at times.
And it's not just about what they're saying to the referees. Sometimes their own guys. Sometimes the other coaches. It would probably be the most interesting and fun to listen to mic up session, like what they do with NFL players and stuff like that. Sometimes if you do that to some of these wrestling coaches, holy smokes.
Yeah, we were just talking about Illinois and Penn State last night. They FS1 mic'd up each coach and you could listen, you know, what they were saying on the sidelines, but also in the huddle. And it was pretty cool.
I don't think that you'd ever get mics on Tom and Terry Brands.
No.
I don't think that'd ever happen. Matter of fact, it was really funny. This year, I can't remember what dual meet it was. It was in Carver Hawk Arena, and it was live on Big Ten Network. And right in front of their coaches, where they sit alongside the mat, there was a big microphone taped to the floor of Carver Hawk Arena to pick up what they're saying. And I noticed Tom go over there and untape it and shove it underneath the wrestling mat so it wasn't picking anything up. And then I also noticed at the intermission, BTN people came over, pulled it back out, and retaped it so they could pick it back up. But it was kind of funny how he went over there and did that and shoved it back up underneath the mat so it wasn't going to pick anything up.
Well, I do know this, that at the state tournament, girls' state tournament, Iowa Public Television mics the coaches. I know that 90% of them don't want to have anything to do with that because it's different. It's just different. It's not what they're used to, and they're afraid that their game day routine is going to be encumbered by that.
Yeah, I think that it takes away from the relationship that the coach has with their athlete, and they can't probably, they think they've probably honestly feel a little bit handcuffed. They can't coach them with the way they want to coach them. You know, and then also other coaches, you know, hear what they're saying or doing or this or that. And so it's, you know, a little bit of a strategy type of thing for the future or whatever too. So, I think I know that if I was a coach, I wouldn't want to be mic'd up, not because of what I'd be afraid to say something, you know, negative or some bad words or anything like that. Just more so, I don't want people getting into my business and hearing what I'm saying to my athletes, even in a positive way or positive manner. I want to be able to keep my coaching philosophies to myself. Do I think that it would be a very good marketing tool and, you know, build viewership and listeners and so forth? Absolutely. I mean, who doesn't want into that? But that's the reason the coaches don't want you into that. So...
you got to have a specific coach again that's got to agree to it, that has the personality to do it. Somebody like, you know, that's in broadcasting now, like a Seth Greenberg comes to mind, who is very good in the studio, I think, as far as ESPN is concerned. The FS1 coach that's in there now, the former St. John's coach, name escapes me right now. I'll come up with it in about 20 minutes. But he'd be very good at it. The former Nebraska coach that's on BTN now.
Tim Miles.
I think he would be really good at it. But you got to have a certain type of guy with a certain, you know, persona out there. You just can't shove a microphone on anyone and expect it to go really well.
Definitely not Fran McCaffrey.
Well, I don't think Tom and Terry either.
No.
I don't think that would be very apropos as well.
It definitely have to be 18 years and older for listeners only.
I'm there.
319-366-1600. 321, we're going to take a break, come back, and we'll talk wrestling with Mark Ironside and more when we return after this. You're listening to The Gym Class on this Wednesday right here on KGYM.
We've got your best interest in mind. When you park your savings at DePaco Community Credit Union, you could earn more thanks to the above market rates. Locked in or liquid, fixed or variable rate. DePaco has options that give you the access to cash that you need, and your accounts are federally insured by NCUA. Your money for good. The deposits you make at DePaco are recycled into loans for your friends and neighbors. Now that's a concept in everyone's best interest. And you'll be money ahead with free tools like You Name It Savings Accounts, savings buckets for whatever you wish, and Change Up Savings rounds up your debit card spending to the nearest dollar, automatically moving that extra change to an account that you choose. Easy money. Let us pique your interest. See all our savings and deposit rates at DePaco.com/rates or call or visit any DePaco office to discuss the many ways we can help you save. It's in your best interest. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
At the Happy Honda Days sales event, you can unwrap incredible deals that'll make you,
oh my gosh,
you know, the kind of gift that makes you,
no way.
Yep, that's basically Happy Honda Days in a chest nutshell.
Get a great deal on a 2019 CR-V from KBB.com's best overall brand for 2019 with 1.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to CentralMidwestHondaDealers.com for more details.
See dealer for financing details based on 2019 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book. Visit KBB.com for more information.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Is one of your New Year's resolutions to remodel your home? Look no further than Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander. Need new doors? They can help. The same goes for hardware. Are you looking for new cabinets? They can design the new space of your dreams with beautiful, well-born cabinetry. And they have lumber, of course, but also decorative shiplap and other trim as well. If you're remodeling in 2020, consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
.324 back with you here in the gym class for Wednesday on KGYM 1600 AM, along with 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, and the brand new, rebranded Gym OT 107.5 FM. Check it out. More information available at kgymradio.com. Mark Ironside joining us here, and his appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue, Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. And a big thanks to Kurt out there, terrific wrestling supporter, and could not do this without him. Before we get to that, 9541 on the First Federal Credit Union text line, talking about miking coaches. Back to Al and Billy in Cedar Rapids years ago.
Sure.
At the
super
old
Super Shootout or
super
whatever.
Super Shootout. Yeah, the old Super Shootout there at the Five Season Center when the Big Ten All-Stars met the ACC All-Stars. Mm-hmm. That was back when Billy Packer was doing the CBS games and loved the ACC. McGuire kept calling him out. This was before Twitter and the internet and everything like that, and said the Big Ten was better. And so they got together and they coached, and everybody had a good time. It was fun. How you doing, Mark? Talk about fun. You got fun the next 5 days, 4 days.
God, the next 3 weeks.
I won't see a whole lot of light until April. And then it's going to be time to harvest some turkeys.
And then time to race.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell you what, Mark, Iowa, Minnesota, DeSanto comes out, looks really good, I thought.
Yeah, he didn't look like he missed a beat.
And Mirren is out there as well. So.
Yeah, Mirren looked freaking, he looked awesome.
Yeah.
How he finished those shots. And those, I tell you what, that McKee's a stud, and he's not easy to finish on. Those finishes that Mirren got, he did everything right, but it took not just, proper technique, but it took a lot of grit, a lot of mental toughness to stay with him and to finish those shots when he needed to. And he kept staying on the offense, staying true to himself. That was probably the best match the best match I've ever seen Mirren wrestle in his career at the University of Iowa. And it's good to see that he's healthy and he's back.
And DeSanto didn't, to me anyway, show any ill effects.
No, he looked completely fine.
Did it surprise
fine.
You went out there?
Not really surprised me. I thought maybe we'd see him Okie State. I didn't know about Minnesota, but I just didn't really know what to expect. I knew that he was on the mat in the room. I'd seen him on the mat in the room just drilling. He looked fine and stuff like that. I just didn't, Tom's very, he really, really wants to make sure those guys are completely healthy before that postseason. So I just didn't know. I knew that DeSanto was good enough to roll. I just didn't know if Tom still, because we didn't need him, so I just didn't know, and Glenn's okay there, so I just didn't know if Tom would still, he'd kind of lift that and let him go out there or not, but he did, and it worked out, looked good. And that wasn't an easy guy that he was wrestling either. That guy he was wrestling was about 6 foot tall, 133 pounds,
wiry.
And so long and lanky, and just those guys are really, really tough and hard to wrestle. That guy had no chance of winning that match except for trying to catch Austin in like a throw or inside trip and some kind of junk move, and that is all he was going for. And Austin did a really, really good job of feeling that and staying out of that type of stuff and staying true to his shots and his lower level leg attacks.
Mm-hmm. How about Stevenson Cassiope? That's the one people came to see and ended up 7-5.
They say it came to see Spencer Lee too, but Minnesota forfeited.
And then, whatever.
Well, the other McKee, you know, the younger one or the lighter weight one, McKee, he got injured. He injured his knee wrestling Purdue the week before, and they just literally don't have anybody in backup except for a true freshman that's redshirting, and
they're not going to pull his redshirt for one match.
Exactly, and especially against Spencer Lee. So that McKee will be back. It's not a season-ending injury, but he did get injured, and they just don't have anybody.
They weren't running away from
Spencer absolutely Lee. Absolutely not. And going on to Gable Stevenson and Tony Cassiope at heavyweight. Stevenson, he's so good. But he just really doesn't do a lot. His counterattacks is where he's money. His reshots. He is so explosive for such a big guy, and so hard to score on. And he just looked like, he made it look easy beating Tony. Tony wrestled a good match. They're just gonna have to somehow find a kink in his armor and somehow try and figure out a way to score on him. Like Tommy alluded to it in the post match show, we're just gonna have to make it a war for him. We're gonna have to go out. We're gonna have to kind of beat him up and make it almost like a fist fight out there, and somehow some way trying to get him out of position, because the guy, that's the thing, is he's in such great position all the time. He's such a great athlete. He's got super good balance. He's extremely strong and powerful and explosive. I mean, he's just hard to wrestle, hard to take down. My thing is Tony's, what he's going to have to get better at is creating angles and getting to angles. You're not going to hit a guy like that straight on and score takedowns. It's going to have to be angles. It's going to have to be creating scrambles, making scrambles happen, and then basically out scrambling in certain situations. What we started doing was we started going to his head. We started trying to make it a brawl, like what Coach Tom Brands was talking about. But by doing that, it wasn't really phasing Gable Stevenson. And by doing that, too, we started kind of reaching a little bit more and going to the head. And finally, we got busted reaching, and Stevenson just dropped in a super easy shot and just took us down like nothing because we got too complacent not protecting our legs enough.
Stevenson might have objected to it because he was penalized a point for taking a swipe at Cassiope.
Yeah, which, I don't think that was really deserving of a point, to be honest with you. I think that, I'm glad it wasn't like a deciding match point type of situation or whatever. But, sometimes obviously they will get called, but majority of the time it doesn't. Usually they typically get warned, especially early in a match when there hasn't been any, play like that so far. And they just, hey, that's enough. I don't want to see that again. This is your warning type of thing. And there was no warning, which, I guess that's probably good of the referee to just step in and say, hey, I'm not putting up with that. But it's also wrestling too. So you got to have a little leniency there.
Iowa wins the Big Ten Dual Meet Championship, Mark, and I did my sports view on this today that aired a couple hours ago. Normally, in most other sports, there'd be a parade. what I mean?
They took a picture.
And I was honestly...
but this was...
I know.
It's Iowa. It's the mentality. Bigger prizes, bigger fish out there to fry.
Yeah, for sure. If it's any other sport in the University of Iowa, it's an enormous, enormous deal. It's all over the headlines. It's all over the news, pictures. You're cutting nets. You're doing everything in the world. I'm honestly shocked that they even took a picture, to be dead honest with you. They went in the locker room where nobody was really around. Not other people were in the picture. Just went in the locker room where nobody's looking, snapped a picture, and called it good. Now, like Tom said, and like what J.R. Ogden wrote about in the paper, is onward, It's a feather in your cap. At least this year, Iowa wrestled Penn State, so it wasn't like co-champions.
Wasn't tainted or anything.
And it's like we didn't wrestle Penn State, so it's like we got it, but yet, Penn State, they didn't really wrestle us. Now we got two undefeated teams. We beat the best of the best in the Big Ten, so it's a very deserving. It's a feather in your cap. It's something to be proud of, no doubt. But at the same time, the individual tournament coming up in March, the Big Ten Championship out in New Jersey, that's the title that you'll probably see a little bit more celebration and applauding some happy campers in the Iowa wrestling program. You get that title because that's one we haven't gotten in a long time, and they want really bad. That's the one that really, in my opinion, matters most, other than obviously the Nationals.
Yeah, which will be up in Minneapolis. Mark Ironside joining us here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class at 3:33. Before we leave Iowa, Minnesota, Kemmer was good.
Great.
Really good.
Great. That freaking kid, man, he is on another level right now. He is just so...
That was the number eight guy in the country he pinned.
I know it. And how he pinned him, honestly, I didn't think he was going to pin him. I mean, his shoulder, he locked up that cradle. Skatska did not expect that to come. And then when he did get him over, he wasn't in a position to pin him at all. The shoulder was up on the chest of Kemmer, and then Kemmer got his near fall, smartly brought him back over, readjusted, took him back over again, and got the fall. And that just goes to show you how smart of a wrestler that Kemmer is. But just even getting a couple of takedowns before that, you know, he just mentally, that kid is... He's on another level than where he's ever been before, and he's just so fun to watch, both offensively. His defense is so solid. He turns – what I mean by that is not only is he doesn't – it's hard to take him down, but you got to be so unbelievably careful that when you do get in on him that you are able to square and come back up to your feet, because what he does is he not only – he'll defend you, but he'll turn that into his own offense just like what he did with that cradle and then stick you. So, I mean, he's just confidence is huge. His body looks good up at 74. He looks really, really good. Marinelli looked great as well too.
Two-part question from 98-96 on the text line, Mark. I like our chances of having 10 All-Americans this year. Does Mark feel the same way? Right now, by the way, 9 Iowa wrestlers ranked in the top 6. And Abe Assad is 8th or 9th. So,
yep.
Your thoughts?
I think it's very possible. It's never happened in the history of Iowa wrestling either.
So. I was at 9 before. Is that right?
Yeah, a few times, but never have they ever had 10 All Americans. So they would make history if that happened, and when we for sure have that ability to do so. But with that being said, it is the national tournament, and. There's specific individuals that will wrestle other individuals they've never wrestled before. They don't really have a feel for them. I mean, anything can happen at the national tournament, you know, but is it definitely an opportunity there to do so? You know, I know that Lugo's ranked 1, 2, 4, depending upon the ranking. You know, Caleb Young's ranked 4, 4, 5, but those guys wrestle a lot of close matches. I mean, look at Caleb Young the other night. That was a gutsy win for Caleb Young, but he's wrestling a guy that was... I don't know if he's even ranked or ranked like 14th or 15th, and we win that. I think it might have even been overtime or at the very end of the match. That's what I'm saying, though, is, you know, anything can go. When you wrestle close matches like what we do at 49 and 57, I mean, you're kind of leaving yourself out there, and you're showing some vulnerability there, and that anybody at any given time, you stub your toe a little bit, and things could go south in a hurry. So,
second part of the question was where you see Nelson Brands fitting in the future.
Well, it's a tough one, because the way I see it is you got Michael Kemmer that's going to be back next year, even though he's a senior. But if anybody's ever going to get a medical redshirt, it should be him. I mean, that's a pretty much a slam dunk, pretty much a black and white case right there. So he should be back at 174. So then at 184. I don't know. I mean, he really, really works hard in the offseason, gets big, kind of maybe tries growing in the way a little bit, and either wrestles off Abe Assad, or they pulled Abe Assad's redshirt this year. Maybe redshirt Abe Assad next year, and then, you know, put Nelson Brands in there too. So I don't know. But I don't know if he'll find the lineup next year, but the following year after that, I would see him as our starting his junior year then, our starting 174 after Michael Kemmer for sure graduates then.
27-46, by the way, talking about Caleb Young. What about him being sluggish against Minnesota? What does he need to do to get going?
Well, I don't think, honestly, he was that sluggish against Minnesota. He was aggressive and he was offensive. He just couldn't finish the shots. He was actually, I think, more offensive than what he normally is. He was getting to the legs, at least, and he kept on the offense. He was just having a tough time finishing those shots. The other thing is that guy was playing the edge the entire time. He was just trying to keep it close. He wasn't trying to win the match, or if he was, just trying to sneak something in at the end. He was a very defensive wrestler, but everything was on the edge.
Trying to give up only 3.
Yeah, I mean, the guy should have been dinged for stalling, but it's just something where we just, you know, Caleb Young and Pat Lugo need to get to the offense early, and then stay on the offense. The biggest thing that I see out of those two is they need to take advantage of that second period. They're just not wrestling to score points in the second period. They're wrestling to just maintain a lead. And you can't – a good wrestler's not going to do that. That second period, you need to be busting it. And that's where you're really going to start. If you can, you know, get a takedown or two in that second period, now you're looking – possibly you've gotten a takedown in the first period. Now you're looking third period coming up. Conditioning is usually always on our side. Now you're looking at major decision opportunities come third period. And right now we're just kind of just hitting cruise control in that second period and just not wrestling enough. And Lugo more so – he'll score early and then shut down, whereas sometimes Young has a hard time kind of getting going, and then he'll come on at the end. Either way, both of them, they just need to – I think they just need to, you know, get some more points on the scoreboard one way or another, work hard at trying to figure out how to score some points. So,
Sunday night, Carver-Hawkeye Arena, Oklahoma State comes to town, and a couple marquee matchups really right off the shoot if they start at 25, and that's Lee and Piccinini. What's the history there?
Spencer's beat Piccini I don't know how many times before. I know that he made his debut in Carver-Hawkeye Arena against him a couple years ago. Then he also beat him at the Nationals. But he got pinned by him in the dual meet last year. So, you know, I'm not worried about that or anything like that. Neither is Spencer. But that just goes to show that Piccini, he's a gamer. And, you know, and Spencer needs to be ready, and he will be ready. Spencer's another guy. We talk about Michael Kemmerer right now, just on another level. I'm sorry to all the 125-pounders out in the entire country, but Spencer Lee right now in this whole season, he's on another level. If there even is such a thing, he's on it. I mean, he has taken his wrestling to a level that I have never seen. His weight control is insane. If anything, he's honestly maybe even getting – he's just too small. He's got it maintaining it so well. And mentality, he's confident, he's excited. I don't know if it's just the Olympic year or what, but the kid just cannot wait to toe the line every single week. And he is an absolutely love with the sport and has a ton of passion for the sport right now. And the rest of that country is they're in a world of trouble when you get on the mat with Spencer Lee right now.
7508 says his guess is 27-6. Worst case is what?
I did not have time to pencil this one out. I really, really didn't.
Now, this is not one of Coach Smith's great Oklahoma State teams.
Not by any stretch.
But it's still Oklahoma State. And Smith still wants to come over here and do as well as he can.
I honestly don't see us losing a match. So I really don't. I think we closed the home dual season on senior night, Sunday night on TV, with a really great dual meet, kick us off into the postseason. This is me being extremely optimistic, but I really see it happening, and it could happen. I think 149 could be a barn burner. That's the one that if I had to say if any match makes me nervous, it's probably the 149 pound match.
That's Lugo and Llewellyn.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Lugo beat him last year in the dual meet. I don't remember what the score was, but I think it was by like 3 or 4 points. But this is a whole nother year. It's another match, and that Llewellyn is a pretty good wrestler. So, but I feel really good about where we're at. And, you know, I don't know. I haven't penciled out the score, bonus points, and whatnot. But I don't see us losing a match. And if we do, the only one, like I said, that makes me a little bit nervous is just 149. But Lugo, at the same time, dude, he's pretty confident right now. And he's hard to score on. Even though he's not scoring a lot of points, nobody's scoring points on him either. So his defense is solid. I mean, he's pretty short 149-pounder. He's strong. He's explosive. He's not easy to wrestle. Even though he doesn't score a lot of points, nobody's scoring points on him.
Not that it means everything, but the news release that went out today and the one you have in front of you, Mark, has Abe Assad at 184. It's not Assad or Wilkie. It's Assad.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's another great thing is we're going to have Abe Assad in the back in the lineup. And, you know, he had a little ding from the Michigan State meet that happened during the match that nobody even knew about. He could have for sure easily wrestled last weekend. I think Tom, again, was just, you know, kind of safety protocol there and just being, we didn't need him. We brought out Mirren and DeSanto, so at least the crowd was going to get to see those two back. And then we'll bring out Assad this week. And the other thing is, too, is Cash Wilkie, he's had ample opportunity to kind of prove himself or have an opportunity to kind of go out on a high note, and he just really hasn't taken advantage of it there at 184. So it's a situation where, one, I think it was time, well, we're going to bring Asad out anyway, but two, I don't know if we can watch Wilkie out there anymore just wrestling the way that he's been wrestling. It's just, we can't take it. So Asad, I'm kicking you right back in there. So
going right back.
I want to ask you, you mentioned senior night, Mark. Is there, each and every team has one or two, but is there a senior in the room that maybe folks have not seen a whole lot of that, you know, is there every practice and challenges the starters and
just hasn't had his opportunity.
Hardly ever gets on the mat.
I think there's Murphy from Colorado, Joe Murphy from Colorado, and I'm trying to think, Jeremiah Moody, people haven't seen him a whole lot. We saw him against Michigan State. Paul Glenn is a senior, which we've seen him kind of off and on throughout the last few years. But Murphy, he's in the room all the time working his tail off, never saw the varsity light or whatever, and he just got accepted into Navy SEAL Academy. So
awesome.
He's going to be going into that.
He's going to be all right.
Yeah, he's going to be – having fun with his parents the other day for the Penn State. I mean, I had to go pick up a couple buddies of mine from Colorado, and his parents flew in to the airport at the same time. They're on the same flight as my two buddies from Colorado for that Penn State meet. I seen his parents there, and I said, "Yeah, I was in the weight room with him the other day, and he was on the pull up bar, and it seemed like 15 minutes. And I just kept like, hey, are you gonna share that thing? Are you gonna come down anytime soon? You know, he just made it look like he was just sitting there doing pull ups, like, you know, no big deal, and he had a weighted vest on. You know, I was like, okay, Navy SEALs, I think he's primed and ready to go.
You gotta have a lot of admiration for those types of guys.
I do, and he's perfect for it. And that Iowa wrestling program prepares you for that probably more than anything on the face of this earth. So both physically and mentally as well too. So those are the type of guys that you love to death, and you give a big hug to them and you tell them thank you, and you know that U.S. is going to be protected well with people like that in the line of duty. And it's really cool to see that, you know, even though he didn't wrestle in the Carver Hawkeye Arena in front of people and winning national titles, Big Ten titles, he got something out of the program, a lot of good friends, built a lot of relationships, a college degree, and then he's also been able to use that to go way bigger and above and beyond than just a normal job when he leaves college, you know. So yeah. Very proud of him.
That's what it's all about there. Hey, Iowa State beats UNI.
Barn burner.
Really good match. Iowa State wrestled really well.
Iowa State did wrestle well. 174 was the big one. I was kind of surprised there that Colbrey beat Steyer, and I was more so surprised they'd beat him by, like, I think 5 points or something. But Colbrey, he's got his weight under control now, it seems like, and he's tough. He's talented, and he gets that weight under control, which it looks like he's doing. He's going to surprise some people. He could definitely be on that All-American stand, you know, come nationals. So I know that Iowa State and you and I, both those teams wanted that dual meet bad. It meant a lot to them. I think that's one reason why kind of Iowa State being at home and didn't kind of want to lose to their little brother, so to speak, in the state of Iowa. And I think that they had put a little bit more emphasis on that meet. It meant a little bit more to them. So, you know, once they get that victory, then, you know, maybe that'll kind of get them going on the right path here going into their postseason.
I want to get you on the road to Des Moines here, Mark, for the state tournament. There's a question of you on the text line. If you're going to make different shirts for the championship run? Apparently you've done that in the past. I don't know.
I think they're talking probably
days.
About the college national tournament.
Yep, national.
So,
nationals, yes,
I am doing that. There's been word out there that, you know, I haven't really come out with any it yet, but it's the designs are all done. They're all approved by the university. Everything is all ready to go, except for I have not had any press time to get them out and printed. When I say press time, I mean printing press time, just because we're so busy with the state high school tournament and then the kids tournament next weekend, which is twice as big as the state high school tournament. But I am going to come out something on social media next week, letting everybody know what we're coming out with. They will be available online, just not in the store. You can purchase them next week, but it'll say on there, will not ship until X date when we have them. But there'll be white for Thursday, black for Black Friday, and then gold for Saturday. And there's not, I know there's a lot of people talking, there's not going to be a three pack. They're going to be short and long sleeve, but no three packs. Just makes it way too tough to control inventory and so forth, and you just buy them one at a time. So
there you go.
We'll come out that one next week.
Another quick question. What do you think about Marcus Coleman at 184? Is he wrestling too heavy now?
I don't think so. I think that he's a big kid. He's always been a big kid. I think he's strong. I think it's just a matter of maybe adjusting to wrestling a little bit bigger guys, but I think he's plenty strong and big enough for it. He just can't, has to, you know, in a situation where, you know, hits those double legs, you know, he's got to, he can't just hit, he's not going to blow through those guys like he is a 74-pounder. So when he hits that, it's got to be a good, clean, crisp shot, but he has to really, really concentrate on quick finishes, not getting caught underneath and creating some angles, using that head, hips underneath you. He just, technique becomes so much more important and crucial when you're going up a weight class and wrestling people a little bit bigger than you.
When did you graduate from Jeff?
93.
So the last time you were a freshman at Iowa, the last time Wartburg lost.
Really?
Do me, yeah.
1994.
220 matches.
Yeah, and all that streak's ended now.
Loris beat him. Loris
was
beat
that
him.
At Loris?
I think no, it was at Waverly.
Was it really?
Waverly.
Wyatt says a great atmosphere. You know, only 1,800 to 2,000 people. But he said. For D3
Heck
atmosphere.
Yeah. That's being like, yeah, absolutely. And that's going to even make it more exciting come tournament time, national tournament time here in Cedar Rapids.
Which is here, by the way.
Yeah, U.S. Cellular Center. That's going to be shaping up for a pretty spectacular D3 tournament. And then you throw Co into there, too. I mean, I know Wartburg beat Co, and you look on the scoreboard, and it wasn't that close. But there was four matches in there that were decided by 1 point. So it could have been a lot different than what it was.
Cornell's got some guys.
They do.
So
and then you bring Augsburg down, and so it's going to be a very interesting D3 tournament here in Cedar Rapids. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
We're going to talk to Dick Simmons as we get closer and closer to that. But yeah, that'll put butts in the seats. Loris beating Wartburg and Co up down here.
Yeah,
on their home.
Miller, TJ Miller versus. Old school, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things going on there behind the scenes, and it makes things really interesting and fun.
Yeah. All right. We'll let you get in the road to Des Moines.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. We'll take a break. Come back. Have more after this here on KGYM.
Two Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees together for the first time. Def Leppard. Back to back with ZZ Top. 2020 Vision Tour. Saturday, October 10th, Wells Fargo Arena. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at HyVTix.com and the box office. Now they rock North America. Def Leppard. ZZ Top.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. Indeed will also give you this sticky frog, which will suddenly leap and stick to the face of the perfect hire. Okay, there's no sticky frog. But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
There's something new in the oven at the Home Depot. Air fry. Only in the Frigidaire Gallery Air Fry Electric Range. Satisfy your family's fried food craving with a healthier, tasty cooking alternative right in your oven. It also comes with self-clean, true convection, and a very tasty price, just $798. With up to 40% off appliance special buys, it's a good time to be a doer at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. See store for details, valid through February 26th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Time for an oil change? Don't sweat it. We've got the deals to help you get even more out of that tax return and get ready to take care of that oil change, like 5 quarts of STP high mileage motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $21.99. And next time, you can get what you need even faster. Just order online at AutoZone.com with our free same day store pickup. Getting your job done just got easier. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's a wireless world and everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. So go with Raycons. Raycons start about half the price of other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing. And Raycon's latest model, the E25s, are the best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a comfortable noise-isolating fit. See what the hype is about. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/will. buyraycon.com/WILL. That's buyraycon.com/will.
We should. Oh, you want to know why we don't have a webcam or anything like that?
Some of the best stuff
Mark,
is set up.
Mark unplugged, not you, Mr. Ironside unplugged.
Yeah.
353. We're going to talk some bowling coming up here. In just a little bit. For those of you who are wagering on whether Mark will be in a tie or not at the state wrestling tournaments, he will not be. I believe he said one of his quotes was, I think they figured out I'm not a coat and tie guy. That's good stuff. Good stuff. 319-366-1600. That is the First Federal Credit Union text line. I'm in a good mood now. Oh, you're ready to go through a wall, and then you're also in a good mood right there. So, all right, we'll get to that here in a moment.
Get to the poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emo's Hideaway out there on First Avenue Southeast, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Would you have walked away from $12 million if you were John Beilein? Yes or no?
Depends if you were ungodly miserable.
I think he made a big mistake. He's 67, may or may not land back in the college ranks.
Somebody's going to give him a shot.
I would think.
He's going to be the most eligible free agent in college basketball.
I'd be on the phone today. Go ahead and vote, KGYMRadio.com.
There are going to be some programs out there that are going to make a colossal mistake getting rid of a very good coach to try to lure John Beilein. And I really see that. And it's too bad all the way around.
If you haven't heard, there was a mutual parting of the ways, I believe, with the Cleveland Cavaliers, right?
And again, it just shows coaching in the NBA is so overrated. I mean, people say Phil Jackson, yeah, but Phil Jackson never had anything but Hall of Famers on his team. And that was even in a different era of the NBA. Now it's almost... You're kind of a zookeeper out there.
It hasn't worked for a lot of coaches who've gone from the college ranks to the pros. And maybe in Beilein's case, I mean, he was at every level in colleges and wanted to give it a shot. And
good for him.
Less than a full season, he realized,
this isn't working.
This is not for me.
This is not working out there. We hope to be working tonight on the lanes at Bowling Night in America. And this preview... Oh. A Bowling Night in America, brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America tonight.
It is indeed week 23 of the 32-week Adult Evergreen League out there at May City Bowl. We'll be on lanes 27 and 28. Hopefully the high school bowlers didn't take away all the strikes yesterday in their regional tournaments.
A lot of local bowlers, by the way, are going down to the state tournament in Waterloo next week.
Yes, congratulations to them. There's a spot for you on the Rusty Nail. So. And anyway, we oppose Van Horn Motors, Hall of Famer Art Barron and the bunch, and we'll try to move up the standings. Right now in eighth place. We're over 500, but back there in eighth place. So try to make a move tonight.
Try to make a move tonight, and you can make a move to May City to check out what they have as far as the pro shop is concerned. They'd love to see out there bowling accessories, new bowling balls, etc. Whatever you need, they've got out there.
Any questions, give them a call, 362-0136, or you can visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
All right, and we'll get a complete report coming up tomorrow. Dave Koken and Kevin Lehman will also join us coming up tomorrow. Our thanks to Mark Ironside. Our thanks to everybody for tuning in. And Weston Kennedy, girls basketball tonight. Don't forget at 6:45 this evening. Todd and Alex coming up next. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday.